Today is Saturday, the 2nd of December 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 110th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Vante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero joining into today's session, and I would like to welcome Vante with great respect on behalf of all of us. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and also through the Facebook live stream to today's session. Our program will commence with the in-session practice guided by Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness, and then we will start on the question and answer session where we present the reports and verbal questions or verbal statements to Bhante for advice. So to start off things, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session practice. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Good day, everybody. Let's start today's session with a mindful listening session, right? So we are going to sit, we are going to do a mindful listening practice. We are going to listen to the surrounding sounds. In order to start today's session, you can sit comfortably, make sure that your body is balanced. Once you are comfortable in your seat, you can gently close your eyes. You are seated comfortably and you have your eyes closed. Now bring your attention to the surrounding sounds that you hear. A variety of sounds are there. Nature sounds, birds chirping, vehicle noises, your family members talking, working. These sounds might be there. Some of the sounds are loud. Some of them are very difficult to hear. Some of them come from far away distance. Some of them are close by. When you listen quietly, you may even hear your own bodily sounds as well. Sound of the breath, or maybe some other processes you might hear. Among all these sounds, there is vast silence. These sounds appear on the fabric of silence. Let's try to spend a few more minutes mindfully listening to the surrounding sounds. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. So that's few minutes of mindful listening. We sat in a comfortable manner and we tried to listen to the surrounding sounds. With that, Namanta, you can take over.
Much best to you, Bhante. Much best to you, Bhante, and thank you for the guidance. We will now move on to the talk on mindfulness scheduled for today, and I would like to invite Bhante again with great respect to commence the talk on today's topic on mindfulness practice. Over to Bhante again, much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Okay, everyone, we can take some time to discuss today's topic. We have a new topic today, which is very much related to our lives. This is about relationships and how detachment in relationships can help us. Okay, so in order to start today's discussion, let me tell you a small story. This is from Greek mythology, and they have this idea in their things, and we'll see how we can relate it to our feelings and our emotions. Now, the story says that initially, in the beginning, the humans, man, he was a different creature. He had two heads, four hands, four legs. That's how this creature was, right? So, since there were like two people combined into one, so they were keeping each other company all the time. They were chatting, they were looking after each other, and this is how this creature was initially. Two heads, they were talking to each other, they were keeping each other company, and that's how they spent time. But after some time, Zeus, the god, he got angry about this creature. Due to some issue, he got angry. And this is what he did to get revenge. He split this creature into two. Right? Initially, it had two heads, two hands, two legs. After this punishment, it only had one leg, two hands, and two legs, right? Since that day, this creature was looking for its other half, right? Always looking, because it feels that it is incomplete in its mind. The other half is missing, right? It feels lonely. It is yearning for the other person and always looking, right? So this is how we are. Today we only have one head, two hands, two legs. So in a way, we feel incomplete in our own mind. We are always in a search for the other half. That's what we do, right? We try to become complete by finding the other half. Although we try, usually what happens is that initially you feel, when you find somebody, initially you feel that they are perfect. You feel that they are the other half and they complete you. That's how you feel. But with time, you realize, although you thought they are perfect in the beginning, they have flaws. They are not perfect, right? And the relationship, although initially you thought that it completes you, now you start to see the holes. Now you start to see the gaps, right? So this is how usually when we go into a relationship, we feel full initially, but with time, it becomes some kind of a suffering, some kind of extremely needy attachment. Right? So that's how it is. Let it be a romantic relationship, let it be some other relationship, always this happens. So in a way, these relationships are extremely needy type of attachment. They create not just suffering or pain, but extreme levels of suffering, extreme levels of pain, right? That's how they are. Most people, if you do some research, if most people are depressed due to their immediate surroundings, right? Maybe due to some other people in their family, maybe due to a relationship that they are having, right? So this is how it is. It is an extremely needy form of attachment, and it brings great levels of suffering to us. Depression, suicide, murder, all these things are very much related to the very close relationships that we are having, right? It is more likely that you are killed by your spouse than somebody else, a stranger, right? That is how it is. If you read the stats, the murderers are most of the time inside your house. They don't break into your house. Instead, they are living with you. That's what the stats says, right? You are more likely to be killed by a person who knows you than a stranger, right? That's how the attachments are, right? It is an extremely needy form of attachment. And with time, it is natural that it brings extreme levels of suffering. So the depression happens, suicide happens, then murder happens, right? So these relationships in the first place, we created them in order to feel full. That's what we did. We wanted to feel complete, and that's why we created these relationships. But with time, you realize, although you tried to make you full, it's not feasible, it's not possible. And these relationships become an extreme source of suffering. That's how it is. So in a way, we have to make sure that we are having healthy relationships. That healthy relationships are important. Otherwise, it's always extremely needy form of attachment. And it is always changing between hate and love. That's how it is. Sometimes you feel love, sometimes you feel hate. That's how most relationships are. But if you want to become healthy in your relationships, if you want to make sure that you are not suffering due to relationships, then detachment in relationships are important. That's what today's topic is. If you saw that poster which was circulated, it says Zen birthday card, right? It's a very nice idea from Zen. It says Zen birthday card, right? And the birthday card reads, not thinking of you. Right, usually when we send cards, it says thinking of you. That's the usual sayings on the cards, right? It's we remind them that we are thinking of you, right? But this strange birthday card, it says not thinking of you. That's what the card says, right? So what is the idea behind this? Of course, the person is acknowledging recipient's birthday, right? By sending a card. But in a way, he's mentioning, he or she is mentioning, that there should be detachment in the relationships, right? So try to express detachment while acknowledging the recipient's birthday. That's the idea of the Zen birthday card. So in a way, this is very much related with our practice, the idea of being present, right? So if your mind is present, then if you want to stay present, then this is the very idea of it. Otherwise, attachment, thinking about other people, always getting lost in their mind, that's not how it works. Instead, what we recommend is a present mind. When you are present, of course, you can do whatever that is necessary. But you have, in a way, in your mind, you have a detachment towards those relationships. You are not always thinking about them. You are not always worrying about those things. Instead, your mind is present. When the things demand your attention, you give your attention. When there are things to be done, you do them. But you want to make sure that your mind is healthy. You want to make sure that your mind is present. So this very idea is expressed in that birthday card saying, not thinking of you. If you are thinking of you, if you are in my thoughts all the time, if I am lost in my mind all the time, then it's not healthy. One day it will create extreme levels of suffering due to this attachment, right? So in a way, it is important to have detachment in your relationships, right? But it involves a continuous practice. Without practice, you can't do this. What is the practice? We are not practicing detachment. Instead, we are practicing being present. We are practicing mindfulness. This practice will allow you to detach from your relationships. You'll do your responsibilities. You'll do things that are necessary. But you are, in a way, detached in your mind. That is very much important in order to be healthy in your relationships. If you want to take care of the other people, if you want to take care of yourself, this is very much important. When I say taking care of other people, some of you might wonder, how can I take care of other people if you are not attached to them, if you are not always thinking about them? That question is valid for most of you, right? In order to take care of the other people, you want to be attached to them. You want to think about them all the time. That's how worldly people think, right? But if a relationship is healthy, you should allow them their own space. There should be space for them to be. There should be space for them to make mistakes. There should be space for them to grow. Right? That's how the healthy relationship should be. Otherwise, if you are so attached to them, if you are correcting them all the time, if you try to do good all the time, then it's not healthy. One day you'll realize, although I tried to do good, that's not what happened. Although in a way I care for these people, they end up hating me, right? Because of this extreme attachment. So if you want to be healthy in your relationships, what we suggest is that you have to be present in your mind. When you are present in your mind, you'll know your opportunities. You'll know when to let them be. You'll know when to take care of them, right? That present mind will tell you when you have to interfere, when you have to not interfere. that awareness is very much important. Otherwise, we are always interfering, meddling with other people's things, and they end up hating us. That's what happens. Especially that happens to children. Parents, they try to do everything for them, right? But when they get into teenage years, what happens is that they hate the parents the most. Secondly, they hate the teachers. That's how it is, right? Then they go and take advice from Facebook friends, strangers on Facebook. That's where they take advice from, right? So this is the new generation. So if you want to have healthy relationships with your, let's say, children, you have to make sure that you are allowing them some space, right? It's good to listen to them, but without the idea of, you know, advising. Just be for them. That's what you need to do. Now we went to a school a few days ago, and the teachers were telling that the parents are not listening to these children. They're having troubles surviving. They're having so many issues because the parents are not there for them. If you go and ask parents, they'll say, starting from 3 a.m. in the morning till 11 p.m. in the night, I do things for these children. That's what the parents would say. But in a way, they don't have time to be with their children. They don't have time to listen to them. Right? So that creates a lot of issues. And the teachers are saying, these children, they need somebody to listen to them. But it's not coming from their home, so they are having so much trouble. They are having mental issues, they are having depression. Some of them commit suicide due to these issues. So they are not asking much. Instead, you simply be there for them. Tell them that I am here for you. I will allow you the space. I will allow you to make mistakes. I will allow you to grow. That's how it should be. So in a way, if you have to have a certain level of detachment in your mind. Without that detachment, you can't really be healthy in a relationship. Right? Otherwise, you'll be suffocating them due to your attachment. So this is very important to have a healthy relationship. This is very important to take care of other people as well as take care of yourself. So in a way, if your mind is present, if you know what mindfulness is, that is the idea that will help you to be detached in your mind, right? Maybe you have to go through some extreme situations to realize this, how much I am attached to these people in the family and how much of suffering it creates, right? On the surface, we think that we are not attached. On the surface, we think that we only do what is necessary. That's how we think. But when you go through a difficult situation, then only you realize how attached I am to these people. Right? Some people, if they don't go through these difficulties, then they might realize it in their deathbed. Right? Too late. They only realize then. And they will ask other people to come with them when they are dying. But other people will say no. Right? That's how it is. You have been here for me all this time. Can you be there for me when I die? That's what they ask. Can you be there with me after my death? That's what they ask. But that's not possible. Other people won't agree. Right? So in a way, if it is too late, then you'll realize it on your deathbed. But if you go through these difficult situations, then you might get opportunities to realize this. Right? How much attached I am to these people in my family. And that attachment, how much suffering that attachment creates. Now, I know somebody who went through a difficult period. That person was having an illness, undiagnosed illness. She was in extreme pain, right? So after going through that pain for 3 or 4 weeks, she was sharing her experience and she was telling that her own mother was blaming her for getting sick. And the mother was asking, who would take care of these children when you die? And that was the question, right? There's sarcasm in that question, right? They're asking from this sick person, who will take care of these children when you die? So that was her experience. And during these few weeks, she realized how attached she is to these children. In her mind all the time, she is thinking about them. When I die, what would happen to these children? Who would take care of them? Even my own mother is blaming me for abandoning these children. That's how those 3-4 weeks went by. Right? Let's say if it actually came to death, think about the status of that mind when dying. Will it be healthy? No. Why? Due to these attachments. Due to these attachments. Right? So you have to make sure in a way you do what is necessary. You take care of them. But you have to make sure that you practice a certain level of detachment in your mind. You can't be there for them all the time. You won't be able to do it. Right? Someday you'll have to leave them. Right? So remember that. Remember that. Be prepared for that day. Right? So in a way, you are practicing detachment little by little, knowing that one day you'll have to leave them. And when you go, it'll be much easier if you have this level of detachment in your mind. Otherwise, they'll be crying, they'll be screaming. You'll be crying, you'll be screaming. This is how it will end. So if your mind is present, that's the very idea of detachment. Let's say when you practice mindful walking, sitting, if you are a new person to the practice, we recommend you that every day, 20-30 minutes, try a mindful walking session. Try a mindful sitting session. Just sit comfortably and be mindful. Walk comfortably and be mindful. Know your primary object. While walking, what is my primary object? Where do I keep my attention while walking? The sensations at my feet. How do I feel them? Then while sitting, what is my primary object? Where do I keep my attention while sitting? The breath or the movement of your stomach, how does it feel? Right? So that way you practice your mindful sitting and walking. When you start practicing mindfulness like this, it's natural that the attachments, your attachments might come. You may recall your family members. You may recall the problems that you're having with them. You may recall your worries about them. So these things come into our mind when we practice mindfulness. In a way, this practice will allow you to know where you are caught. Right? These thoughts represent your weakness. Right? So that way, what you do is that you sit mindfully, walk mindfully. We are not going after the thoughts. Instead, we try to bring our attention to the primary object. When we try that, it is natural that the thoughts, your identical, your unique thoughts will come. Some of them may represent the problems that you are having. Some of them may represent the worries that you are having. Some of them may represent the attachment you are having. So in a way, when you try to practice mindfulness, You get to know your thoughts and emotions better. You get to know your attachments better, right? So this should be done in a long period. It is not a 1 week or few days of practice. That's not how it works. Because on the surface level, you feel certain attachments, certain worries, certain problems working in your mind. When you start mindfulness practice, you feel this. Now, yesterday I introduced this practice to some people, and when they were sharing their experience, they were telling that I got thoughts about my family members. That's what came to my mind. And I was thinking about them. I was thinking about a problem that I'm having with them. So that's that person's experience after practicing maybe like 1 or 2 hours, I guess. Right? So that's just the surface level understanding. Initially you feel like this, but when you continue with the practice, when you go more and more deeper into the practice, then you realize the real problems. Then only you realize the real attachments. Initially, certain things are just surface level. They are the shallow issues. But when you continue for few months, few years, then only you will realize what are the true attachments are. What are the deeper issues that I'm having in my mind? What are the deeper worries that I'm having? Right? So in order for you to get these insights, you have to do a daily practice. For some time, you have to continue with this practice. When you take that type of approach only, you can really dig deep into your mind. You can really get an idea about your attachments, about your issues, and the worries, problems. So that way, little by little, you are going into your mind. You are digging into your mind. On the surface level, you feel certain things. When you go deeper into it, you realize maybe some of them were forgotten. Now, some people, usually they share their experiences about childhood issues. When they practice, out of nowhere, these memories come. And again, the mind is repeating the same incident. Again and again, it is going in a never-ending loop. So they become fuzzled. They come and question, why does it come into my mind? I couldn't even remember it. So they're asking, what happens to me? What is the reason for this? Right? So when such things come, you couldn't even remember. Maybe you were like 2, 3 years old. But still, in meditation, maybe after a few months or so, you start to get these memories. Again and again, you start to feel pain. Again and again, you start to experience trauma created from these incidents. Right? So there are deep psychological wounds that are there in your mind. All of us, we have our unique set of wounds, right? So only through meditation, you will realize, now this is what I was having deep in me, right? Now, when the incidents come, when you have to face them, of course, it is difficult. You feel like you are reliving that very experience. You feel that the pain and suffering is still real. But that very process, it's a healing process. It's a healing process that's happening. Maybe there was a relationship, some kind of a relationship early in your life, and that was disrupted, that was broken due to something, right? But there was a wound that's created in your mind. That wound was there even after 20, 30, 40 years. The wound is still there. In your meditation, you feel that this is a wound created due to this relationship, due to this attachment, due to the bad ending of that relationship, right? So when they come, you have to be patient. You have to allow that healing process to happen.
I think there is some signal issue here. We will wait for Bhante.
Namanta, can you hear?
Yes, Bhante, we can hear you.
Sorry about that. I had a trouble in my connection. Right? So this way, when you meditate, certain things will appear. Certain past wounds will appear. Right? So you have to patiently face them. You have to allow this healing process to continue. And it might take few days. It might take few weeks. But after a few days, after a few weeks, you realize this incident doesn't attract my attention anymore. My mind is not bothered about it anymore. Right? So that experience you will have. And when you go through these healing phases, it will create a huge difference in your current life. Maybe you realize your mind is much calmer, much more peaceful. Maybe you realize it is healing certain problems that you had with your day-to-day affairs, right? So this wound was there, this wound that was created due to issues in our relationships, right? So this wound was there and it was affecting your life. You didn't know, it was not apparent, but it impacted your life. But when you go through the healing processes, you realize it is creating much more space in your mind. You become much more peaceful. Even your body and mind both becomes lighter, right? So those changes might appear and you become much more healthy dealing with your current affairs, right? So that's how it is. That's how the healing process will happen. What you have to do is that you have to do a daily meditation session. That way you have to support the practice, and that practice will help you to heal even from the past wounds. And of course, it will make sure that the current relationships are much more healthy. It will create a certain level of detachment towards them. That detachment is very much necessary for you to become healthy in those relationships. It will be helpful for the other person as well as it will be helpful for you. It will be healthy for the other person. It will be healthy for you. So that's the idea for today. And thank you for listening.
Thank you and much merit, Bhante. Next, we will move on to the question and answer session. And I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session. I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai, Bhante. Before we go into the questions, we will share the beginner's guide. If anyone would like to start meditating, if anyone's listening that is new and a beginner, or someone who wants to just watch it to refresh their memory. There are two videos in the links provided here. We will put this on the chat as well later. And one is about walking meditation, the other about sitting meditation. Once you watch these videos, they will give you an idea of how to start the practice. And once you start, set aside some time, start with any amount of time and work your way up to the recommendation is an hour or for each of them, on every day. So once you build up your practice and have some experience for yourself, write them in a report, send it to us so we can then present it to Bhante for his feedback and guidance. You can share it with us via the Google form, which the link will be provided, and email, which is beginnersnb@gmail.com. We will share them to Bhante, with Bhante, and ask for his feedback and guidance. Now I will move on to the reports today. We have three reports received, one via the Google form, two via email. I will start with the first one. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the position to balance one. Noted the seated body by pressure points, weight of arms and hands on the lap, calves and feet in contact with the floor. Heart was heavy with worrying thoughts. Stomach muscles were squeezed up. Took a few deep breaths and relaxed slowly to deliberate and deliberately. A colder in-breath followed by warmer out-breath noted, some shorter and some longer breaths. Lots of worrying thoughts arose about recent past events and near future. Tiredness noted. Not sure when, but it looked like the aversion of worrying thoughts had been paused. Just watching different types of thoughts passing through. Sat for 45 minutes. After sitting sessions, the body felt a bit more relaxed than at the beginning. Mindfulness during the day. Last couple of weeks were hard, not so much due to the passing of family member, but because of the drama that unfolded after. Road to hell certainly is paved with good intentions, including mine. Mine generated extra amounts of effort to help others to avoid huge mistakes, but it had no effect. Others were determined to continue with what they saw and believed to be right. I tried my level best to warn the family, but it had no impact, and they continued to with what my mind saw as danger signs, unsafe decisions, like running ahead head-on towards a train crash. Having shared my experience last week in class and having the insight that the layers of suffering were due to the attachment towards family, and hearing feedback from Bhante, I contemplated the function of attachment at every opportunity I got. Felt that with attachment comes expectations, and with expectations come disappointments. With disappointments come sadness or anger. Having experienced all the above for many days, it became a bit clear that attachment produces nothing but trouble. By midweek last week, took a risk after meditation to contemplate what would have happened if I parked the attachment to the family, at least for short periods. The more this contemplation was done, it brought up fear of near and dear being in danger or unsafe situations. Then noted the control that goes with attachment. For example, they don't listen, so they will get in trouble and I must protect them. These felt as controlling thoughts. Then wondered how it would be giving up the attachment and associated control even for short periods. The feeling of ease and peace that arose with this exploration surprised me at first. The more I could mentally allow others to make their own mistakes and learn from these, made the initial fear of them heading for danger reduced. Ultimately, I'm responsible for my thoughts, speech, actions, but I'm not responsible for theirs. And these are adults and not kids. So I can safely resign from unnecessary post of acting as general manager or protector of them. The more I think about it, the more peace it was offering me. I think this way, both parties can feel free in the long run. Not sure how long this will last, but aware that this can be strengthened gradually, but continuing to practice. Dear Bhante, look forward to your feedback. Much merit to the organizers. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, perfect report related to the topic today, right? Okay, so now these events, this series of incidents, it is opening a spiritual path for you. Forget about others, but it is opening a spiritual dimension, spiritual path for you, right? Because you had to go through this extreme suffering, extreme difficulty, and you are learning from it. That's the important idea, right? Otherwise, if the attachments are always healthy, we won't change them. We won't dare to detach. Why? It is always benefiting us. It is always healthy. But one is directed towards a spiritual dimension, let's say, or towards meditation because of this issue. Attachments are not always healthy. They create extreme levels of suffering. That's why in the talk I mentioned, the attachments, they are an extremely needy form of attachment, right? Especially when it comes to your close family and friends, right? So when you see how needy these things are, how much suffering they create, that same experience will lead you towards the meditation. Or that same experience will open a spiritual dimension for you. Even the Buddha says, if these things are always healthy, nobody will go for the Nibbana or the practice. Right? When they experience these extreme levels of suffering only, they become sick and tired of these things. When they are sick and tired, naturally the detachment appears. Right? So think about it. This series of events, it's part of your spiritual journey. It is creating a huge impact in your spiritual journey. Right? So that's how it is. If you think they are always healthy, if you don't have to go through such extreme difficulties, then you won't dare to detach from these things, right? So that's how it is. That's how the nature is teaching us, right? The nature is the best teacher. No matter what you do, one day, these type of situations will come to you. And when they come, if you know meditation, if you know the practice, then they'll teach you a lot about the practice. But if you are not ready, then you are blindsided. That's what happens to the other family members. They don't know that they are suffering. They don't know that they are creating a mess because they are blindsided. But when you know mindfulness, when you know practice, these incidents will teach you a lot. And these very incidents, they are helping to open our path. They are helping to open this spiritual dimension. Can you believe it? Do you think that these type of extreme situations, these type of extreme sufferings, they are opening the path? If you don't go through these things, you won't be interested in practice. That's what happens to most people. They are not interested. They don't have time because they don't know the reality. But when you go through such incidents, that very incidents become your teacher. That very incident is opening a new dimension for your practice. Okay, so that's what happens. So you can be happy, you can be glad that you went through this difficulty. Maybe to say that it might be too early, right? Still you are suffering, still you feel the difficulty. So maybe currently, you can't be glad for this. But if you continue with the practice, you realize one day, this made a huge impact in your practice. And it helped you to progress in your path or the meditation. Right? So that's how it is. That's how it works. So we can say you are blessed to receive this teaching. You are blessed to go through this experience. So take that teaching, move on, move forward with your practice. Okay, so that's how it is. So this will help. Within few weeks, few months, you realize that it made a huge impact. It made a huge change that helps a lot. Okay, so that's how you have to do the practice. That's how you have to progress in the practice. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. Move on to the next one. Walking meditation. Initially noted weight of body when standing. Felt hardness of the floor compared to feet. Started walking, placing left and right feet. Then noted lifting and placing movements. Cooler parts, moist areas between toes, warmer areas of feet noted. Then walking slowed down, noting lifting, moving, placing. On a few occasions observed instruction of the mind before each lift, move, or placing movement. Noted the end of each movement and sometimes the end of the thought. Mind not distracted, except for short periods on one occasion. Walk for 15 minutes. Sitting meditation. After the walking meditation, sat noting symmetry of body and parts of body touching clothes and cushions. Noted warmer hands, cooler parts of body. Mind went to breath, which was almost not present and appeared much lower down. There was a sensation of absent face. Mind aware of expansion and contraction of chest, despite no perception of breath at times. Images appeared on and off. Sound heard, not distracting. After a while, discomfort noted, not distracting. Breath and face stayed absent for most of the session and reappeared towards the end. Some thoughts noted with short proliferation. Sat for 45 minutes. Mindfulness in the day. Noting that most work is now being done, but not multitasking like in the past, trying to keep the mind on the task at hand. However, able to do as much with efficiency and mind noted to be mostly content. At one point, noted mind getting anxious about the long list of things to get done, but remembering to be in the present helped to get it done all with no problems. Minor irritations, disappointments noted to arise, but now noting them as thoughts that will pass helps them to go with very short periods with no or minimal proliferation. Mind mostly in a calm state. With much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, so if I start with the latter part, the ability to do one thing at a time, and that good, right? That very ability. Now you have, let's say, 100 things. Pending things are there. On your to-do list, you have 100 things. But still, you take the very first thing that should be done, right? You prioritize them, you take it, and you try to complete it without giving attention to other things, without getting distracted about them, or without worrying about them. So this way, you can do things much more efficiently in a shorter period of time. So that experience you are having in your day-to-day life, you feel high levels of peace, contentment in your mind because you have this ability, right? So that very ability is developed through the meditation practice. You mentioned about your sitting meditation. So in that sitting meditation, you are developing that very ability. Now, initially, you were dependent on the breath. That dependency is no longer there. Now, your mindfulness, you are able to observe everything without getting attached or without holding on to them. Initially, we do this by holding on to the primary object. That's what we recommend. For a beginner, we recommend for them to get hold on the primary object, right? But when you continue for some time, you realize now you are no longer dependent on the primary object. Now you have the ability to observe everything without getting attached to them, without holding on to them. So that very ability will help us in our day-to-day struggles. You have this ability to sit back, relax, and observe. That ability is very much important. Otherwise, what happens is that things come. When they come, they show signs of urgency. So when things are urgent, when things come, we get distracted with those things. And, you know, you forget the things that you have to do. You forget your priorities. So this is how our mind is distracted. You don't have the ability to observe them without holding on to them. Right? So that ability you have to develop. This ability, advertising people, they know how to use this ability. All these technologies, social media, they know how to utilize this ability. They distract you with things. That's what happens nowadays. You go on YouTube, so many things are there. They'll be distracting you. And soon, within few seconds, within few minutes, you forget the reason for going there. Maybe you went to do some research, find something. But instead, you end up watching funny videos for 1.5 hours. And not only watching funny videos, but watching advertisements as well. That's how it is. You go on social media, so many things are distracting you, right? And you forget why you went there. That's how it is. So if you have the ability to observe things without getting distracted by them, that's the necessary ability to become more efficient in your day-to-day life. You know that they are there, but you are not distracted. You know your priorities. You know where to give your attention. That very ability is you are expressing in your day-to-day life. That very ability is helping in your day-to-day life. Okay, so it is coming as a benefit of the practice. Maybe you have done this practice for months. After doing it for months only, you see how efficient you become in your day-to-day activities. Right? For a newcomer, they might be asking questions about these things, but they won't experience. Why? Because they are not spending time in that usual day-to-day practice. They are not doing their homework. Without doing their homework, they expect the results. That's how it is. No, that's not how it works. So you have to make sure that you are doing the daily practice. As a result of it, the practice matures. Those results will appear in your day-to-day life. Right? So in your sitting report, it is clear you are no longer dependent on the breath. Even the primary object you have let go. When you do that, you see that you are there, you are the witness, everything is there. Right? You are not prioritizing anything. Instead, you have the ability to be the observer. You are like a CCTV camera, observing calmly, patiently. Right? So that very ability is very much important. That very ability will help you to deal with this world. This world is, you know, corrupted world we are living in. Everywhere you go, you'll have advertisements, you'll have various things. People will come and try to exploit you. So if you have this ability, you won't get caught to those things. When somebody talk to you, you know how to be the observer without getting caught on those thoughts or emotions. That ability is very much important. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. The last one I will go into. Venerable Bhante, I don't have a report because the words do not come now to write a long report, but I just wanted to say thank you for your advice last week. You really were a great teacher. And I know you have guided and changed my perceptions every step of the way. Before my husband left, I told him that his ego that is chasing enlightenment, and to go and learn to trust his awareness of here and now. He was not understanding. I have learned to surrender to the universal law and let go. I have found my peace once more. Thank you, Bhante. Much merits to you all.
So it says when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Okay. So although you try to teach your husband, it's not working because he is not ready to accept that. Right. So you have to allow his practice to mature. What else you can do? Right. So the students has to be ready. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Even the nature will teach us. Nature is the greatest teacher. Right? But you have to be ready. That's the priority. The student is the priority. Ripe fruit, they'll fall by themselves. You don't have to put any force. Right? Those things will fall by themselves because they are ripe. That's the very idea. So, in your practice, if you are doing the proper practice, then you will hear the teachings, even from nature, even from your family members, even from different incidents that you have to go through. Right? If you are not ready, although the teaching is there, you can't understand, you won't hear it. Right? So think about trying to teach other people. It will create a huge mess. Right? Because they are not ready. Simply, they are not ready. And that's the issue. That's the issue. Right? So teaching is a difficult job. Even for you, I mean, trying to teach your husband, it's a difficult task. Right? So instead, you have to focus on your own practice. Right? When you're focused on your own practice, then that will be a silent sermon to other people. Right? Otherwise, if you try to teach others, it's difficult. Now, even these sessions, we don't have an intention of teaching other people. And so, in a way, we are teaching ourselves. That's the very idea. When we pick these topics, in a way, I am teaching myself. That's the very idea. So if you have that type of attitude, it will be much easier. Otherwise, we are expecting results. We are expecting others to understand. They are not ready. What can we do? Right? Simply, they are not ready. So we can't do anything. Right? Even my mother, she is not ready to meditate. So if I tried, initially I tried. But I got sick and tired of trying. So I just let her be, right? After so many years, she's coming and asking, is there a retreat that I can come? Right? So that's how it is. That's how it is, right? If you try to force them, if you try to teach them, it will not work. Because their mentality is totally different. They are not ready yet. What can you do? Right? So instead, you simply let them be. You be yourself. You focus on your own teaching. If your teaching is right, if your practice is right, it will be a silent sermon to other people. That's how the real practice works. Otherwise, you get sick and tired trying to teach others, trying to, you know, explain things. That's not how it works. Instead, focus on your practice. Take these opportunities as opportunities to, you know, progress in your practice. I know they are difficult. It's difficult to go through these things. It's painful, right? It's not pleasing. But instead, they are teaching opportunities. There are opportunities for you to learn. The nature is teaching you Dhamma. So when those opportunities are there, you have to make sure that you are getting use of them. You have to make sure, although it's difficult, you have to go through them mindfully. When you go through them, you realize that it is helping your own practice. Still a long way to go, right? This way, the same way, you have to continue probably like 10 more years, right? When you continue for a long period, then only you realize what the real practice is. Then only you see your own faults few years back. Then only you'll see your own mistakes few years back. In a way, you have become matured in your practice. The practice is maturing. And you become a certain, like a different creature kind of a thing. But it takes time. It takes time. It's a struggle against time. Right? That's how it is. Many people, they think that within a week I'll do, within a month I'll do. That's how they are. They have been doing other things for like 50 years. They come here for a retreat for 5 days and they want to become stream entry. Right? But that's not how it is. Instead, you simply continue slowly, mindfully, you continue. When you continue like that, it's a struggle against time. If you maintain the same practice for a long time, then you'll know the practice works. Then you will know that this is the way. But what happens to most people is that they do a certain practice for a few months. They go for something else. They do that practice for a few months. They go for something else. They go for a new teacher. That's how they are. So they are lost. They'll never see any results because they are going here and they are doing that thing and something else. It's not how it works. Instead, you have to do one thing and you have to do it well. When you do it well, when you do it for a long time, you realize how the practice is helping. Right? So most people, they ask various questions. Yesterday, even somebody was asking how to do like, you know, absorption meditation. Then that same person was asking some other question. I can't remember the second question. So I told him, this is the practice that we are recommending. You can't advertise it much. Mindfulness, you can't sell it. That's the issue, right? Compassion, you can sell it. Kindness, you can sell it, right? Those things are colorful, right? Those things are sellable. But mindfulness, no taste, nothing at all. They won't buy it. We try to do various different packaging. You know, today's packaging is Zen birthday card. Right. Yes. Last week's packaging was something else, which I can't remember. Right. So we do various new packagings. Still, people are not buying. This quality, it is not interesting. That's the very quality of mindfulness. When you are mindful, you are bored. Right. If you do compassion, if you do something, then you'll be excited. That very excitement will turn into hatred soon enough. That's the issue, right? So mindfulness, you can't sell. It is like a mirror reflected, right? The mirror shows you the reality. Reality is not pleasant. Reality is not exciting, right? So that's why most people don't agree. But if you continue with the same practice for a long period, then you realize this is the way, this is the only way. Whatever you do, you'll have to come to this, right? No matter you do like absorption meditation, no matter you do like concentration meditation, whatever you do, you have to come to this one day, right? This very practice is the one and only way, right? So thank you for sharing and you may continue the same way for so many years.
Thank you, Bhante. That is the end of reports. Does anyone have any questions? We are nearly out of time, but we can allow maybe one or two questions.
Seems like Nadeev is having a comment kind of a thing, not a question.
Yes, Bhante, I tried a few times. I'm a bit dark here. Sorry. Okay.
You're at home. That's the issue.
Yeah, exactly. Even, you know, when I first start practicing mindfulness, I still remember the words from the Loku Swami Nohase. Don't try to teach meditation unless the person has a genuine interest. So I still keep that word to me. And unless, you know, someone come to me and ask, you know, for some introduction, I never go and forced to. Even my kids or my wife or even my mother, they also hear, but never. Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah.
That's how they are not ready, so you have to allow them to, mature.
Yeah. Right? The kids, they join in the Satipatthana programs now and then, but I never force them, though.
Yep. So that's the way you do your own meditation. You focus on your own meditation, and it will be a silent sermon for them. If your practice is true, then it will be a silent sermon. Right, because they see your change, they see you are becoming a better person. That's really impactful, right? That type of a teaching is really impactful. Otherwise, if we are not changing, if there is no real change in us, then the others will know that the practice doesn't work, right? They will know that we are faking. Right, even I met somebody a few days ago. He was a driver. He was mentioning, Bhante, I am not meditating. But I deal with a lot of meditating monks and I see their meditation doesn't work. The driver is saying, right? So he's saying that I can feel, I am not a meditator, but I can feel that their meditation, it's not working. Right, if their meditation is working, you have to feel that this person is much more bearable now. Right, this person is facing difficulties in a calm manner. This person is becoming a more and more human. Right, that's not happening with most of the meditators. They become like some kind of like a god or something after meditating. Right, they think that they are the all powerful, almighty. And all others are, menial, right? That's how the most meditators are. But if your practice is true, you become more and more human. You become better dealing with conflict, right? Even the animals, they feel it. Even the trees, they feel it, right? Your meditation works, your practice works. So that will be a silent sermon. Otherwise, even the drivers, the day-to-day people that we deal with, they'll know. They are not meditators, but they'll know that this Bhante's practice doesn't work. So that's how it is, right? So you do that silent sermon, and if they are ready, they'll listen to it. Maybe some other people listen to it, we won't know, right? So we'll do our part, we'll focus on that, and that's the way.
Thank you, Bhante. I don't actually see any other hands raised, so I'm assuming there are no questions for today. Now, Bhante, would you like to then end the session?
Yes, Sonali. Thank you so much for the conducting of the Q&A session, and much merits to you, and also much merits and thanks to Bhante for excellent guidance. We will move on to wrap up today's session. I would like to share merits with Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for joining us, representing Nissarana Forest Monastery in this manner. And we hope that these merits will have a positive impact on Bhante's own journey of mindfulness in life, and that you will flourish throughout. Furthermore, I would like to pass on merits to Venerable Chief Bhante Udayiragama Dhammajiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nissarana Forest Monastery, and wish that these merits will have a powerful positive impact on Chief Bhante's own practice. And then I would like to share merits with all the wonderful organizers behind this endeavor, and wish that these merits will have a positive impact on their own mindfulness journeys. And I would also like to thank and share merits with all the attendees in Zoom, and also who may be joining through the Facebook live stream, and I wish that these merits will have a positive impact on your lives. Furthermore, we will have the same program next week as well, and it will be the same time. And I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead, and wish that all these learnings and techniques that you learn will be useful throughout the next week and further on. I would end the Zoom session now. Have a happy and mindful week ahead. Thank you.